Data filter strips mitigating.
Great, thank you, Jeremy. This is the question that I'd like to try to address today, is, and Bob Lurch has touched on this a little bit, and I'm going to fill in more of the research that we've been doing over the past 5 years to really try to address this question. So can we use vegetative filter strips to mitigate antibiotic loss from agroecosystems? I'd like to acknowledge the funding source, the Center for Agroforestry and the USDA ARS, my various collaborators at the University of Missouri, as well as collaborators with USDA ARS and also Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. So approximately 11 to 16 million kilograms of these compounds are used in the United States annually for both therapeutic purposes, prophylactic purposes, and growth promotion. Approximately 70% are associated with the non-therapeutic purposes. Depending on the animal and the veterinary antibiotic of interest, 30 to 80% of these compounds are passing through animals in an unaltered state. So not metabolites, we're talking about the parent compounds, 30 to 80% coming out. Of course, they're then being land applied, as shown in the bottom figure here, and the concentrations of manure range anywhere from trace levels up to 200 milligrams per liter or milligrams per kilogram. So fairly significant concentrations and significant mass as well, if you consider, take 80% of this total mass being used, it's fairly significant amounts of these compounds that are being land applied. We've detected veterinary antibiotics within water resources, particularly within surface water resources. A number of individuals have observed that, and it really demonstrates to me the need to begin to figure out ways to control the loss of these compounds from the landscape. We know that vegetative filter strips, such as the one shown in this figure here, are quite effective for reducing surface water runoff. Dr. Uduwada talked about that earlier, sediment loss and nutrients, and also herbicides, as Dr. Lurch noted previously. Most of these reductions are gained from improved physical, biological, and chemical characteristics associated with the perennial vegetation being in place, either at the edge of a stream for a riparian zone, as shown in this one, or the upland filters, such as the first picture that was on the very first slide that I had. So this led me to the question, and my colleagues to the question, can we use these for alternative purposes? And we started out with these five different objectives that we were interested in trying to address. Are there differences in absorption between the vegetative filter strips and the croplands? Can we measure and model VA transport through these soils? Can we probe the decomposition of the VAs in the presence of vegetative filter strip species? What are the effects of the microorganisms or effects of the VAs on microorganisms within the vegetative filter strips? And then conducting some field trials to evaluate whether or not we really would see a reduction in VA loads as they pass through the filter strips. So for the desorption experiments, we collected soils from 0 to 10 centimeter depth at three locations within Missouri, three different soil map units. And at each site, there was an agroforestry tree buffer, tree grass buffer, a grass buffer, as well as cropland, which was typically in a corn-soybean rotation. I don't have time to get into all the characteristics associated with the soils in terms of their bulk general characteristics, other than to say that for the vegetative filter strips, typically greater organic carbon content up to 1.2% greater within the filter strips. Clay content was typically a few percent higher, anywhere from 3 to 5% higher, and pH was on the order of 1 to 1.5 pH units lower in the filter strips than in the cropland. So we investigated absorption of oxytetracycline, sulfamethazine, and sulfadimethoxazine, and then investigated SMZ transport through the saturated columns and investigated modeled the transport using the Hydrus 1D finite element model. These are the results for oxytetracycline. I don't show any of the desorption isotherms here, but all the data were well fitted with the Froehlich model as indicated by the R-squared values. The log KF values, the Froehlich coefficient values, 3.26 to 3.5, and the N values were associated with the linearity or non-linearity, in this case, if you will, of the isotherms, roughly 0.5 to 0.75. Now, because there's differences in the N values associated with these Froehlich parameters, it's not easy to directly compare the KF values when the N values are not equivalent. And so what we did then is we calculated KD values associated for each of the initial concentrations of OTC that we looked at, and then ran an analysis of variance at each initial concentration. And so here's just an example of the data where the crop here data, KD values are in the cyan, the grass are in the yellow, and the agroforestry are in the purple. So we have the KD values for the three different soils that we investigated and the three different vegetative treatments. Consistently, what we found over all those six initial concentrations is the KD values for the agroforestry were greater than or equal to the grass vegetative filter strips, and the grass were greater than or equal to the crop. And in all cases, the KD values for the agroforestry were greater than the crop. So we have a trend here. The agroforestry are absorbing a greater proportion of OTC than is the grass, than the crop. And we also investigated for the sulfinamide SDT here, sulfadimethoxazine, and what we see is a similar trend. Agroforestry KD values were greater than the grass, which were greater than the crop. So two very different compounds, a sulfinamide, which is very much more mobile, highly soluble, absorbs less than the oxytetracycline from the tetracycline class of the veterinary antibiotics. We also investigated an additional sulfinamide SMZ, sulfamethoxazine, and you can see the absorption isotherms here. So the amount adsorbed of the compound adsorbed on the y-axis relative to the initial concentration on the x-axis. This is for the Huntington soil, the agroforestry data in the purple, the green for the grass, and then the square cyan color for the crop here. All the data are also well fit by the Freundlich model. Log KF values negative 0.4 to 0.78, and N values ranging from nonlinear to nearly linear for these various soils. Again, because of the issues associated with the N values and making that difficult to compare the log KF, we again performed the calculated KD values, ran an analysis of variance. Here's some of the data down here for the sulfamethoxazine at the 0.01 molar concentration, and the same pattern emerges again. Agroforestry KD values were greater than the grass, which were greater than the crop. We used a multiple linear regression to try to identify what were some of the more important components that might be explaining this data. And for sulfamethoxazine, we had a positive correlation with organic carbon and a negative correlation with pH. Sulfamethoxazine tends to absorb to organic carbon when it's in its net neutral form through hydrophobic bonding, whereas at lower pH values, the molecule is primarily cationic and adsorbing onto the exchange sites. So we have a positive correlation with organic carbon and a negative correlation with pH, and that matches quite well with what others have found in the literature. Now, because I knew Dr. Chaffetz would be here, and he's always interested in the effects of dissolved organic matter on sorption, we also did some studies to see, one, does SMZ sorb to DOM, and two, what are the effects of DOM on SMZ sorption? So to address the first one, we found no direct sorption of SMZ onto DOM at multiple concentrations of SMZ, multiple concentrations of DOM, and at three different pH values. So we fairly well exhausted the fact that SMZ is not directly binding with the DOM. And I should mention this DOM was extracted from poultry litter, poultry manure. In case of the adsorption isotherms, what we observed when we have the presence of the DOM is a slight reduction in adsorption. So we know that the DOM is not binding onto the SMZ, but we see that the DOM is reducing SMZ adsorption. If you look at the N values and compare this range relative to the N values we observed previously, before we were hitting a linearity up to a value of 1. Now we're not. And so what this suggests to me is that the isotherms are plateauing, and it's likely a competitive interaction, competitive adsorption between the DOM and the SMZ for the adsorption sites within the soil, thereby reducing SMZ adsorption when the DOM is present. And here's the KD values. You can kind of see them in the bar graph. SMZ alone in blue, and in red, the SMZ plus DOM. Slight but significant negative effect of the DOM on SMZ adsorption. The column transport experiments, these were saturated columns. We ran SMZ through the saturated columns for both the crop soil, shown in blue here, the agroforestry soil, shown in red. The main points I want to get at is that the eluted mass that came out at the end of these experiments, over 600 hours of run, about 27% of the SMZ remained within the agroforestry column, whereas only 6.5% of SMZ remain within the crops column. So we're retaining a greater mass of SMZ within the vegetative filter strip soil relative to the cropland. The model efficiency, and we use, this is for the Hydrus 1D, we use the three-site, two-rate Freundlich absorption constant concept with an irreversible irreversible absorption site shown here. That's the S3. Here's the Freundlich S1 sites, and the S2, the reversible sites. Model efficiencies were very good, almost one, which is what we want to see. Instantaneous absorption sites, and this should say S2 over here, the S2 sites. We see that there's a lower fraction of instantaneous absorption sites within the agroforestry soil relative to the cropland soil. And for the reversible absorption rate, beta 3, the reversible absorption rate for the agroforestry soil was greater than the crop soil. And so because we have a lesser fraction of this instantaneous sites, S2, that's telling us there's a greater proportion within the S3 and S1 sites, the irreversible and the Freundlich. And so that suggests then we have a greater greater irreversible absorption occurring, and that's, you know, onto those sites, and the rate is quicker as well. Just some dissipation experiments. We grew some vegetative different species within pots, spiked them with tetracycline or SMZ, incubated and destructively sampled for five weeks. We found no traces of the TC or TC metabolites after 5 days. SMZ half-life was much reduced in the presence of the poplar tree relative to the control, and we saw good correlation of degradation or reduced half-lives with the activity of various soil enzymes within the soil. And you can see this spike right here for the poplar tree and glucosidase activity. In the case of the microbial experiments, spiking the soils with various antibiotics, we collected the soils from the Armstrong soils, the grass, the crop, and the agroforestry. We spiked them with OTC at 5 concentrations, lincomycin at 5 concentrations, and only under a few instances did we actually observe some negative effect associated with these concentrations. Soil microbial function, carbon utilization, as well as soil microbial enzyme activities were inhibited early on between days 0 and 7, but eventually recovered with time. And phospholipid fatty acid analyses indicated no shifts in microbial community structure associated with the antibiotics. Bob Lurch already kind of touched on this data earlier, but just to point out again that we are seeing, in the field at least, we're able to see a reduction in the loads of, in this case, sulfamethazine as we pass runoff waters through the vegetative buffers, and further demonstrating in the field that we have some potential benefit with the vegetative filter strips. So just to sum it up, we are observing greater absorption of these compounds to the vegetative filter strip soils. We can enhance degradation of these compounds with appropriate species. The microorganisms, at least under a single heavy dose, appear to be quite resilient to the introduction of the VAs into the system, and our field trials are indicating we can reduce VA loss from the landscape. And so to get back to the original question, I would say yes, I think there's good opportunity to use vegetative filter strips for this purpose. Thank you. I think I used all my time, didn't I?
We got one question.
All right. Benny?
Have you looked at the desorption processes?
We did. And for SMZ, about 50% remains on after 5 2-hour successive desorption runs. So after 5 desorption runs, total of 10 hours, we're still seeing about 50% remaining on the surface. The DOM has a slight effect. The DOM seems to enable a little bit more of the SMZ to release. No, just the DOM that was present during the initial adsorption. There's a little bit of an effect. Thank you.